Hello. You can't be part of the RBC community and not have heard of one of our 30-day challenges. At the moment, we've got Running Your Business by the Numbers with Maurie Hill, the business GP. We're in week two, but just to prove that you're missing out on some really amazing information, here's a sneak peek into what Fleur and Maurie spoke about last week, the importance of running your business by the numbers. Welcome to Rural Business Collective's 30-day challenge, Running Your Business by the Numbers, presented by Maurie Hill, the business GP, and RBC's Fleur Anderson.
Managing and making money is a fundamental goal and a responsibility of every business owner. I mean, if you don't do this for yourself or very well, you need someone in the business who does it for you. So this four-part podcast series, our 30-day challenge this month, is about operating and managing your business with targeted financial outcomes, that being the primary driver of almost all decisions and activity. So I was introduced to Maurie Hill about a year ago, and he's an experienced businessman with over four decades of business management behind him in multinational and national businesses and his own companies, and now as a business advisor and mentor to small and medium business owners with family companies. He works primarily in Queensland and the Northern Territory, but also has other interstate and New Zealand-based clients. So I recently invited Maurie to become a member of our Rural Business Collective Advisory Board, and he has gratefully accepted that position, which I'm very excited about. And so Maurie and I are getting together to deliver this to you. One of his key deliverables to business owners and managers is on a one-day course on managing your business by the numbers. We thought this would be a great topic to present to RBC members and followers in the form of this podcast 30-day challenge. So we hope you enjoy these podcasts and benefit from them. Good morning, Maurie.
Morning, Fleur.
Let's get started. Tell me, why manage your business by the numbers?
All right. Well, thanks very much for the introduction and the opportunity. It's a pleasure to be part of your exciting Rural Business Collective, and I appreciate the opportunity to contribute, first of all, via these podcasts, and then into the future in terms of how the business progresses. You made a key observation in your opening comments that managing and making money is a fundamental goal and responsibility of every business owner. I just couldn't agree more. You would be absolutely amazed at how few business owners treat this matter with the seriousness or priority it deserves, until, of course, they have cash flow problems, sales income drops off, they can't take up a new opportunity because they don't have the required capital or investment funds, and many other reasons. They just basically, in my view, abdicate their responsibilities in this area. So let's step back a bit and up a bit, and for each business owner listening, just ask yourselves these questions. Why do we work? Why do I have a business? Is my business financially under control and meeting all or most objectives? Could we manage our company finances better? Just reflect for a minute and rate your answer on a scale of 1 to 10. You know, where do you stand on that scale in terms of how well you manage your business financially? Do we have budgets? Do we undertake regular measurement and review and undertake regular financial reporting? Now, most of us in various forms or ways have sales and operations meetings, etc. But when was your last finance meeting? Just focus totally on the company's finances. You know, for some, it's possibly the accountant 6 months ago, or you know, when you reviewed last year's results, and so often the case.
Yeah.
And what resources do we actually apply, and how much time do we allocate to our financial management? Or, Fleur, like many small and even medium-sized companies in my experience, do we put in 2,000, 3,000 hours of hard work and effort and sweat and blood each year, hope we get it right, hope we achieve our income targets, and hope we make a profit in a good year? Because in my observation, that's how many people operate.
Yeah.
They go to work every day, they work hard, they're not really in touch with the numbers, and often, you know, the only barometer is the amount of money in the bank account, which goes up and down, but doesn't necessarily reflect the true circumstances of the company. Let me just tell you a story by contrast. many years ago, way back in the, a long time ago, Fleur, I worked for a multinational company listed on Wall Street, where the fundamental driver for that company was the stock price. 12 months ahead of the game every year, and by the way, this is in over 160 countries, the stock price at the end of that particular financial year was the primary driver for every financial activity in the company. It translated backwards through the balance sheet right down to profit and losses in each of those 160 countries to income, cost of sales, operating expenses, profitability, cash flow, and all things associated. And it was almost the singular focus of the company was the company's stock price because of obviously all those public investors right around the world. Now, you know, you perhaps go back to last week, much like our four big banks here in Australia, last week CBA, along with its other challenges, announced an annual profit of $9.3 billion just a few days ago. Now, this didn't happen by accident or just people turning up for a year and going to work. It was orchestrated, stage managed as the primary responsibility and duty of every executive manager in that business. And of course, they scored, and the profits there, the dividends are there for the shareholders and or whatever. Mm. Through the singular management of that goal, of that profit goal. Now, this is called, in my experience, this is called managing your business by the numbers. And it's with a will, knowledge, and focus. Now, it can be done at every level in business. I have clients, small, you know, $1 million clients, $500,000 clients, who with that singular focus, they're small trade and services companies, and even in tough times, these tougher economic times, they're growing steadily. Mm-hmm. They're making targeted profits because their owners now manage, operate, and drive their businesses by the numbers. They envisage, plan, and budget 12 months ahead. They measure their financial progress at least monthly, some fortnightly, some even weekly. Mm. One of my clients in the Northern Territory is unhappy if they don't make their sales targets each day. He actually measures it, and he's got access to all the company accounts on his phone. Mm. You know, so he's totally in touch with the temperature, the financial temperature of his business. And depending on financial results and outcomes and circumstances, these people who do manage by the numbers, they make timely decisions. They're in tune with the business. They adjust the operational and financial levers of the business literally every week. Mm. It's very similar to flying an aircraft, Fleur, or on the water, piloting a large boat through the Barrier Reef precinct. You know, business owners need to be the financial pilots of their business.
Yeah, so instead of just turning up for a year and hoping the numbers work out all right, just because they have in previous years, or, you know, a lot of us just make an assumption if we work hard, things will work out okay.
Right.
You know, but you're recommending that every business puts its financial goals and targets right at the top of the list and drives the business forward on all fronts per these targets and goals. It sounds like good old-fashioned business planning and budgeting to me. I mean, I think we might get a bit caught up with all these trendy concepts that draw us away from these tactics. But it still seems the business owners don't do this very well, even though it is a very fundamental, it's not a new thing.
No, many don't. And I could say, in my observation, most don't. More often, they don't have the appropriate resources, they don't have the processes and systems in place to manage by the numbers because it's not a high enough priority for them, or they're doing stuff that perhaps they're more familiar with and experienced with and more comfortable with. This key fundamental of working on the business is often neglected or relegated to when money is short, when it becomes critical and stressful. And I'm sure there are listeners out there who may be in those circumstances right now. So let's again just step back for a minute to two of my earlier questions for listeners. Why do I or we work? All right. Why do we have a business? All right. They're pretty fundamental questions. Now, somewhere in, if you, each of you were writing your answers down to those questions, you would come up with something along these lines. I or we, the family, needs an income to support our chosen lifestyle, to improve our quality of life, to be prepared for later in life, etc., etc., etc. We've all got our individual reasons.
Yeah.
Many of them are common, but it's just the fundamental basics of lifestyle and quality of life. And, you know, you're right. Of course, that's the case. The primary purpose of working and or owning and operating a business is all about you. It's about your family. It's about your lifestyle and your future. It's also about independence and satisfaction. So with money absolutely fundamental to these objectives and outcomes, you know, money is the oxygen of, yeah, of business. Why don't we pay more attention to getting this aspect right than we actually do? Mm. If these personal objectives are the end results, why we do this, then your business becomes the means of achieving it, of how to do it, or a very big part of it. So let's get it right. Manage your business by the numbers, just like big companies do, because big companies can't operate or succeed unless they manage by the numbers.
Mm. So Murray, you also mentioned another concept to me previously, and that was getting your business to work for you rather than you working for your business. What do you mean by that?
Okay. This one's pretty straightforward. It's sort of exactly how it reads, but let me just comment. Some listeners will identify with the following. I wonder what camp you're in, because I'm going to present two camps here. Right. First camp. I'm working 50, 60, 70. Would you believe I have some chap the other day tell me he worked 120 hours a week, which I absolutely disputed.
And yeah.
It was really quite funny, Flair, because his wife, who was present, said if he didn't talk so much, he'd only have to work 50, 50 hours. All right. So I'm working 50, 60, 70, even more hours a week. We have very few holidays or breaks. We live week by week and just take the money that's left over when everybody else has been paid. Our debt is increasing, and although interest rates are low, we know we have to repay it at some time stage. We now have an arrangement with the ATO to pay our BAS and our PAYG and company tax and whatnot over time. Sales have dropped off, but expenses are still the same, or even though we've made a couple of adjustments, they're still too high. We are constantly stressed about our business and our family finances. That's camp one. All right, contrast this scenario with this next scenario. We take home a regular wage or salary, which meets all family requirements. We have regular family holidays. We pursue outside pastimes, hobbies, and activities. Our business contributes to the local community in more ways than one. My management team can run the business when I'm not there, even for an extended period. Fleur, I've just come back from the Northern Territory, where I've been sort of half babysitting a company up there while the owners took a 6 weeks break off in Iceland.
Oh, sounds fantastic.
They went away for 6 weeks. Yeah. I actually think the business ran better without them. But these are a young couple in their mid-30s. They were, by the way, a Telstra Business of the Year award winner just a few years ago. They only started 6 years ago.
Wow.
In 2015, they were Telstra Business Award winner. These two couple partners are taking the whole of 2019 off to travel around Australia with their children, and the business is being geared to run without them.
Yeah.
So, and just to continue with this scenario, we have the required systems and processes in place for me to manage the business remotely. I don't have to be on the premises. Our cash flow is strong, debt is manageable and reducing, and we get a dividend each year, and so on and so on. So person one in these two scenarios works for the business. Mm. They are bound to it. Mm. They work on Saturdays. They cannot take 2 weeks holiday and or whatever. Person two is in the fortunate business of having their business work for them. This is obviously a primary goal for every business owner. And we all know people, friends, associates in both camps. To those listening, which camp are you in and which camp do you want to be in?
Yeah.
So does that answer your question?
It sure does, and it's a little bit sobering, Maury, I have to admit. When you put it like that, I think we've all probably had moments where we've seen glimpses of both sides of that scenario. But I myself, and I'm sure many other people, want to be firmly in that second camp. If you're in the first camp, how do you get into the second camp?
Okay. All right. So how much time do we have?
Yeah, exactly. Just 10 minutes, you know, if you could sort us out, right, that'd be good.
Fix it all in 10 minutes. So if you are in the first camp of working for your business and you obviously want to get into that second camp, then something has to change. All right. You have to break the current pattern and take control. Rather than just be a victim of circumstances or the passage of time, that's not going to change anything. You just possibly, it could be in the same circumstances or even worse off 12 months down the track, unless you do something deliberate. The challenge is obviously, how do I, we, and the business change to work towards this outcome? From many years of being in business at all levels, including my own businesses, and now advising small and family companies, I only know one way that over time works for all situations where there is a need or a will to change, and that is to manage your business by the numbers. Sorry to be prattling on and preaching about it, but I am so adamant about this, I actually don't know any other way, one way and the other. All right, you say, so well, how do we do this, or how do we do it better? So we've only got a few minutes, and some aspects will become clearer in the follow-up podcast sessions that have been following this first session. But the short answers are, if you are not already, and many business owners are not, then become financially literate. Mm-hmm. That is, understand the language of financial management. Mm-hmm. It isn't really hard. The principles are simple. Once you know them, you never forget them. And once you start to apply them, you undoubtedly, your business will start to improve. Mm-hmm. And your overall circumstances will improve. So you or somebody very close to you or somebody that you delegate to who has a certain level of authority in the company has to be financially literate, and you have an obligation as the business owner to be up there to a certain, if not the whole extent. All right, that's point number one. Treat your finances, your money in and out of the business, as a primary resource, if not the primary asset and resource of your business. I asked another client of mine the other day what business he was in, and he said, oh, we're in civil construction. You know, we build roads and places surrounded by graders and rollers and tractors and utes and God knows what and all the rest of it. And which I said, well, yeah, I can see that. That's fairly obvious. But are you in the business? I asked him, you know, are you in the business of making money? He said, oh, absolutely. And I said, which is the most important? He said, oh, the second one. I said, well, why didn't you say that at the front end?
Yeah.
As opposed to telling me what was fairly blatantly obvious. All right. So I really pushed it on him to change his perspective. Yeah. And, of course, he agreed wholeheartedly. Yeah. But it didn't occur to him to tell me that that's the business he was in. If you don't know, just another point, if you don't know or clearly understand exactly where you stand financially right now, you don't know your level of debt, how much you may or may not owe the ATO, oh, it's with the bookkeeper or our accountant looks after that. For me, Fleur, this is an abdication of responsibility for your most important asset. Mm. All right. But for some, apparently, it's not important enough to be fully informed. Until, of course, the business starts to go downhill or encounter cash flow problems, and then, of course, they have to get involved. Mm. You know, it's up the mortgage on the house, it's do this, it's do that, it's cut a couple of staff, and so on. And that's changed by crisis. You know, what we try to do here through getting up front and managing head on is avoid those situations. Right, business plans, budgets, financial measurement and reporting are mandatory to achieving financial results and outcomes. CBA did not get that $9.3 billion profit last year just by turning up for 12 months. Larger companies could not survive without these procedures and processes and policies and so on, nor can small businesses. Mm. And if you take those principles of large business, simplify them down to suit the scale of your business and introduce and implement them and take ownership, you're on the way. Yeah. All right. So we're going to talk about this in the next session, but clearly understand everything about profit and how to make it. Yeah. All right. Because without it, you really, should be out fishing.
Yeah.
or doing something else, because that's the primary goal. We'll come to that next week. Put a finance team into place. You, your bookkeeper, your accountant, identified roles and responsibilities, regular meetings. You probably hold sales and ops meetings, toolbox meetings, project meetings now. Why not chair and participate in a fortnightly 30 minutes finance meeting? We do them sometimes just over the phone with the accounts in front of us in 15 minutes with a fixed agenda. So, you know, prepared for, chaired, actions arising, et cetera, et cetera. And then, of course, there's that old chestnut, which we'll address in podcast three, which is cash flow. And we'll talk about its significance and how to manage your cash better, because it is slightly disassociated from everything else we've talked about so far, because it lags actual sales and payments and all the rest of it. That's truly, your cash is truly the fuel in your tank. So make timely and appropriate financial decisions based on the circumstances, the needs and the facts, just like those pilots I mentioned before. You can't do this without timely and accurate financial information. You, the business owner, personally allocate regular quality time and priority focus on managing the financial side of your business. A company that I worked with way back, late part of last century, we had over a 1 billion turnover here in Australia as a part of a multinational organisation. Our executive management team managed that $1 billion of turnover in 2 hours a fortnight. That's all the time that we really put into, unless there was a crisis or a major new opportunity or something went wrong. But business as usual, it was 2 hours a fortnight. That's not a big investment to manage a billion turnover in 30 locations and over 3,000 staff. So bring those same principles down to your business and you're going to be better off. Now, we all manage fuel in our car, diesel in our tractors, water in our dams, just facts of survival. How about we apply those same principles and diligence to better managing the primary resource in our business? This is, in my view, is the company finances, our funds, our monies, our debt, and all associated. The alternative is that if we don't, then all financial outcomes and results are just the consequence of other events. They're not the primary driver of the business. Sorry, long-winded answer, Fleur.
And we're going to summarise all of that into your downloadable worksheet that you can get for this week's episode that you'll receive as well. But, you know, given all of that, what, therefore, are the primary financial objectives of any business that our listeners should be aware of and to take direct action into understanding and managing?
Okay. All right. Well, Fleur, highly relevant question. In my experience, all commercial businesses, and in many respects that includes not-for-profits as well because there are many similarities, have four primary drivers behind financial management, each of which requires the business owner's direct attention and management. Now, for me, these are, number one, to support the owners or shareholders or investors' lifestyle, family, and or personal financial needs. In other words, their quality of life. And this is via consistent, sustainable minimum income, wages, salary, dividends, but a return on their investment in the business, whether it be financial, time, effort, skills, experience, or whatever. Number two, to have or make some funds available each year for reinvestment in business growth. Because if you don't change and evolve, you will linger and possibly not survive. So we have to change and evolve and grow, basically, to survive. So we need continuous improvement. New opportunities arise. We need to be able to fund them and be in a position to fund them. Otherwise, they pass us by. Number three, to make consistent, minimally acceptable gross profits after our cost of sales to support our operating expenses and the profitability and those two items that I've just mentioned. Such additional returns or dividends can then be used to pay down debt, further invest in the business, or they can be invested elsewhere for the future as shares, real estate, another business or whatever. And finally, the fourth primary financial objective for me is that year by year, the market or sale value of my business or our business increases such that at some future point in time, the business can be sold off for a capital sum or sold down to the next generation of family members. And therefore be realised as part of the founding owners' long-term investment plans, thereby again securing their future in later stages of their lives. So this all translates to having clear financial goals and targets at the start of each financial year to underpin and support the achievement of these objectives. There's that old saying that if you can't measure it, you can't manage it. Very true in my experience. So it's therefore mandatory to have clear targets in advance to be able to measure them. That's what managing by the business is all about.
Holly Dooley, that has given me a lot to think about, and I'm sure the listeners are the same. Thanks, Maury. There's a lot to take in there, and I think I'm going to definitely myself take a lot more interest in the financial planning and the management of my business from now on and drive it financially, rather than just having every year's financial outcome be a consequence of other events and actions. But I guess what I have learnt from this discussion is that if I manage my business by the numbers, as we say, I'm more likely to, one, sleep better at night because I'm in control, and there's a real power in that control and feeling in control. Two, be in a better position to support my family in the personal and our personal financial years it needs, and that's at the end of the day why we're doing what we do. Three, plan the required reinvestment in business growth and improvement in my company. And that's a really empowering thing to know that at the end, you not only can meet your lifestyle objectives, but you can actually reinvest in your growth. I think that's a fantastic objective there. And number four, we'll be having a better chance of earning dividends after all the costs for other investments. And five, year by year, increase the value of our business for possible sale one day. I think that's great too, to have that really long-term view about why you're there. But I think that pretty much wraps up number one. I think that's going to leave some people sitting and thinking and chewing on that until we come around next week. But thanks, Maury, for this informative session about why we should spend more time and effort on managing our business finances for better outcomes. The next three podcasts that you'll have released, one per week, each week in September, you'll focus on how to manage by the numbers, and with podcast two to focus on that poorly understood and often poorly managed topic of profits and all about them. So I'm really looking forward to recording that session. Thanks, Maury.
Thank you, Flav.
So for all of the listeners, Maury Hill is the founder and owner of the Business GP, and it's a business advisory service for small, medium and family businesses, and he's based on the Sunshine Coast but travels extensively through rural Queensland and the Northern Territory. So for further details, look Maury up on his website, businessgp.com.au. We'll also have links on our website and in our member emails and your notes that you receive with this session. So until next week, bye for now.